The United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is now open and in session. God save the United States and this honorable court.
This is the time set for argument in the first of our cases, Apple Inc. versus USR 20-1222. Mr. Selwyn, you're ready to proceed?
I am, Your Honor.
And you're, before you begin, you're reserving 3 minutes. When you hit your 12 minutes, you'll hear a tone, and I'll remind you if you're running into your rebuttal time. But unless we're eating up your rebuttal time with questions, you're going to be eating away at it yourself, and you won't be able to recover it. You understand?
Understood. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
Why don't you go ahead and proceed, then?
Good morning. May it please the court? Mark Selwyn presenting for Apple and Visa. The board made three cross-cutting errors, two relating to its failure to properly view the disclosure of the prior art in light of the correct meaning of a claim term, and a third resulting from its failure to consider the argument made in the petition. First, the board erroneously construed the term handheld device in its final written decision to require that the device be, quote, intended to be held in the hand during use, rather than applying the terms plain meaning, that is, merely being capable of being held in one's hand. This led the board to conclude that because, as USR had argued, it was likely that Maritzen's personal transaction device 100 was intended to be mounted in the car's sun visor, dashboard, windshield, etc., the PTD did not disclose the claim term handheld device. That was error. Even if USR were correct that the PTD is a personal device intended to be mounted on the car's sun visor, etc., that should only serve to confirm that the PTD is a handheld device. Because as a matter of basic common sense, any device that can safely be mounted on something as small as a car's sun visor must be of handheld size. Furthermore, the board failed to consider that Maritzen also shows handheld devices such as a cellular phone, as depicted in PTD 610 and Figure 6A. Even USR's own expert agreed when deposed that Figure 6A shows a device, quote, in the general shape that matches some cell phones. But the board disregarded Apple's evidence.
Mr. Selwyn, this is Judge Toronto. Can I just ask you, the first two points you made about the claim construction and the size of the device, the second point relies on the first, right? That is, that anything sufficiently small that it is capable of being held in hand would be a handheld device. The only argument that you have, what argument do you think you have that's independent of that claim construction argument?
There are two. Even under the construction that a device that is handheld must be intended to be held in the hand
during the use contemplated.
During
right?
use, the evidence would still show that Maritzen discloses such a device in PTD 610 and 640. But that construction reads in a requirement that the intrinsic evidence doesn't support.
Okay. And can I also ask you a question about the relationship between this case and I guess the two other cases involving the 826 this morning? One is, if we were to affirm invalidity under 101 of the 826 claim at issue in the district court case, then what would be the appropriate disposition of the present case, appeal?
If the court were to affirm Judge Connolly's decision on 101, then it would moot the four IPR appeals.
And so we would just dismiss with vacator or what?
Judge, affirmance of the district court's decision would cover all the claims that are at issue in the IPR appeals. So for that reason, the IPR appeals would become moot upon affirmance of the district court's decision.
Okay. And then as to the relationship between this case, the 1222 and the and I mean that to include the 1234, of course, but the relationship between this one and the next one, the 1223, we now have, I gather, conceded invalidity of the independent claims, which were the only things that the board analyzed in the current case. First, what is the effect of that on what we should do here? And second, if in the 1223 we affirmed the board's conclusions there about the independent claims, the 714, 26, and 34, that one group, and then claim 8, what effect would that have on our disposition here?
The board's finding in 1223 that all the independent claims and 7 dependent claims are unpatentable has not been challenged by USR. So there are 5 claims between the 2 IPR appeals, dependent claims 7, 8, 14, 26, and 34, that were determined by the board to be not unpatentable. Those are at issue in both of the appeals, 1222 and 1223.
Right. And in 1223, the board actually addressed them and rejected your arguments there. In this IPR, the board, just correct me if I'm wrong, did not address those dependent claims. And so I'm trying to understand what we should do in this case if we affirm the board's conclusions in the other IPR as to those dependent claims, the very same 5 claims that are now surviving.
The board did address in the present IPR the 5 dependent claims. Those were challenged in the IPR. Those were addressed in the final written decision. Certain of the evidence that Apple presented in support of unpatentability were considered waived by the board. That was error.
Okay.
Again, the board disregarded Apple's evidence, wrongly finding that Apple had waived reliance on it by raising for the first time in its reply. But in fact, Apple's petition had cited PTD 610 and 640 and included images of figure 6A and 6B as evidence of the handheld device limitation. Furthermore, when USR disputed in its response...
Am I understanding correctly that the element-specific discussion, is it 1A, just forgive me if I've got the numbers wrong, did not include a reference to the figure 6 figures, but those figures were referred to in 1B, where what was being discussed was the biometric information element. Is that, do I just as a factual matter, as a description of those two pieces of the petition, is that right?
It's close. As part of figure 1A, Apple explained in its petition and supporting expert declaration that Maritzen discloses a personal transaction device 100 that is a handheld device. Apple included first handheld device in boldface brackets next to personal transaction device 100. 2 pages later in the petition, in demonstrating that Maritzen discloses limitation 1B, which includes the term handheld device, the petition showed the images of figure 6A and 6B and refers to figure 6A and 6B as the PTV. And on the same page, the petition refers to the biometric input 630 and 660 of the PTDs is something that can receive a finger or thumbprint. So it was disclosed in the petition, and then it was reinforced in the reply, because when USR, in its patent owner response, argued that Maritzen didn't disclose the PTD is handheld, Apple responded to that in its reply and in its supporting declaration. And Apple and its expert noted that, quote, figure 6A and 6B disclose handheld devices, and specifically that, quote, figure 6A is a cellular telephone. which is the handheld device. And again, I wish to emphasize that there's no dispute regarding the size of the PCB. USR's expert admitted that figure 6A is in the general shape that matches some cell phones, and USR agrees that the PCB is small enough to be mounted on a car's sun visor. And anything that is small enough to be mounted on a car's sun visor would be something that you could hold in your hand. Morrison doesn't even disclose a mounting device.
Mr. Selwyn, this is Judge Stoll. I have a question for you. My question is this. Why isn't there substantial evidence to support the finding that Morrison's PDD, shown in Figure 6A, is not handheld, given that the PDD is in a vehicle? There's no size or scale in the patent. And given that the board credited Dr. Jacobson's logical, I think, explanation that it's more likely that the PTD is mounted on a vehicle and not held in the hand so as not to distract the driver while driving.
Your Honor, three reasons. First, the Morrison refers to biometric input 630 and 660 of the PTDs as something that can receive a finger or thumbprint. And that is an indication.
Is your position that the only way you could make that work is by having it in your hand? I mean, why couldn't you just put your thumb on there while it's on the visor or while it's mounted on the dash?
Well, even in that case, it would be something that would be capable of being held in one's hands, because anything that you could put on a sun visor.
Your argument requires me to agree with your claim construction, right?
It doesn't, because even under USR and the board's construction, the PTD would be something that could be held in one's hands. Anything that could be put on a sun visor.
Wait, I thought that the difference between the claim constructions was yours is that it merely has to be capable of being held in the hand, and that the other proposed construction is that it has to be intended to be held in the hand.
Correct.
Okay. So why is there... Explain to me, if the construction is intended to be held in the hand, why is it that this PTD mounted on the dash would satisfy the requirement of being intended to be held in the hand?
Because any such device would be one that would be capable of being held in the hand and would be intended to be held in the hand. Anything that you could mount on the dashboard or the sun visor, such as the PTD 610, the cell phone that is shown in Morrison, would be something that you could have in your hand. It would be
Like you're saying intended to be held in the hand is the same as being capable of being held in the hand. Is that what your position is?
It's not, but in this case, the evidence supports that Morrison discloses a handheld device under either view.
I'm having a hard time with the intended to. What evidence is there that something that's mounted on the dashboard for the driver to use is intended to be held by the hand of the driver?
Because we see that in the images of the PTD 610 and 640 as a cell phone. That is evidence that the board simply disregarded.
Where does Morrison say that that's a cell phone?
It doesn't use the word cell phone, but the image of it clearly is a cell phone, and that's something that the board just did not consider.
Okay.
And I will reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Mr. Matthews?
Yes.
You've got 15 minutes.
Good morning. May it please the court. Mr. Matthews, on behalf of Appellee USR, I'd like to focus on the two determinations, really, since the court's questioning appears to focus primarily on the handheld device. I'd like to focus primarily on that.
Mr. Matt, I have a question for you. This is Judge Waller. On pages 6 and 11 of the blue brief, Apple claims that neither Morrison nor Jacobson were considered by the PTO during prosecution of the 826 patent. Were those references brought to the PTO's attention?
I believe that is true. They were not considered during the prosecution of the claims of the 826 patent.
Yeah, but my question is, did USR bring them to their to PTO's attention and they just didn't consider them?
I believe that they were not brought to the attention of the PTO.
Okay. On page 23 of the gray brief, Apple asserts that in the co-pending proceedings in 813, USR did not even dispute that Jacobson's user authentication device satisfied the first handheld device limitation. Is that correct?
So in, I guess in the adage of you win some, you lose some, in the next appeal, the 1223 appeal, it is certainly the case that with respect to the Jacobson disclosure and the patent application, which was the primary reference in 1223, we did not dispute that Jacobson discloses a handheld device.
Okay.
But that, of course, is not the basis that Jacobson is relied on here for 1222.
Thank you.
Certainly. It is certainly undisputed, we believe, that there's no express disclosure in Maritzen of a handheld device. In fact, Apple's petition in 1222 merely assumed that Maritzen's PTD is a handheld device without submitting any evidence in support. When we pointed this defect out in our patent owner response, Apple raised a number of new arguments on reply, three in fact, and the board found all the reply arguments to be deficient. The personal device argument that Apple argued was that based on the fact that the PTD 100 stands for personal transaction device, it was a personal device, and since they argued all personal devices are typically small, it would be capable of being held in one's hand. That's akin to the argument heard today that if it
can
be
I, this is Mr. Matthews, this is Judge Trent.
Yes.
Can I just ask, many of the points I don't think were raised this morning by Mr. Selwyn, and but what about the point that even the petition, though not in the subsection about claim element 1A, but rather two pages later in the subsection about 1B, a claim element that repeats the term handheld device, 6A is referred to, and 6A just is a flip phone with a biometric, with a fingerprint pad. It seems to me, I guess, that can you just focus on that?
Certainly. So that was the third argument that Apple raised on reply to the board, that those figures are clearly handheld devices, and specifically that 6A shows a cellular telephone. And the board determined that was a new invalidity theory. It wasn't about the figures per se when the board reached that conclusion, although they did identify, as referenced earlier this morning, that those figures were only referenced in connection with limitation 1B and had been used to support the existence of
But limitation 1B requires a handheld device, right? So when making the point in the section of the petition about 1B that 6A shows it, it was saying that 6A is a handheld device, right? Or is that wrong? It didn't do it in 1A, but 1B contains the same term, doesn't it?
So I would encourage the handheld device appears in a number of limitations in Claim 1 because it is the focus of the claim. But the petition, if you were to focus on the Appendix 4479 to 4482, the four pages of the petition where the limitations 1A and 1B are mapped, I think it's will be clear, and it certainly supports the board's conclusion that that the reason those figures were cited 6A and 6B and for limitation 1B was for purposes of showing that there was a element that was capable of receiving a biometric input. And in fact, in the figure in the petition, the portion of that figure that's boxed is 630 and 640, and it's not for the purpose of identifying a handheld device. The board went through the petition, identified in limitation 1A that the only element that had been identified as a handheld device was PTZ 100, which is shown in figures 1 through 4. There was no reference to figure 6A and 6B, but more importantly, that what the board had determined is that, and this is shown at Appendix 17 and 18, is that it was Apple's reply arguments that did not appear in the petition, that Apple never asserted that the devices in figure 6A and 6B are handheld, that the Apple had never asserted that PTD 610 in figure 6A is a cellular telephone, and then that Maritzen does not disclose anywhere that they are handheld devices depicted in figure 6A and 6B, or that either of them is a cellular telephone. And you know, given that the date of invention of the Maritzen patent is 2000, you know, it's easy to look at these figures through the eyes of somebody in 2021 and imagine what they might be and what they might disclose and what the scale might be. But absent an express disclosure in the Maritzen reference, there was certainly substantial evidence to support the board's conclusion that Maritzen does not disclose a handheld device, and that Apple had never made those arguments that figures 6A and 6B are either a cellular telephone, or I think the other argument was that they reveal that the dimensions of the device are proportioned for handheld use.
This is Judge Wallach. Didn't your expert concede that that illustration was a cellular telephone?
No, in fact, he did not concede that it was a cellular telephone. I think you can see this. They cite a portion of his deposition testimony, but the remainder of that deposition testimony, when he asked if that was a cellular telephone, he said, it's in the general shape, but I would not believe it's a cellular telephone. It's not a mobile phone, he said. And he went on to explain that it would make more sense to have it be a mounted device to avoid distracted driving. So, no, I don't believe that the deposition testimony supports the argument that Dr. Jacobson believed that that was a cellular telephone.
A Maritzen device.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part of your question.
What's the purpose of the Maritzen device, the underlying purpose?
The underlying purpose is to make it easier as a car is approaching a toll booth gateway to affect a transaction. So and in fact, Maritzen's PTD is 100 is described as a key-enabled personal transaction device. And so the purpose of it is to be able to provide some level of security, biometric security for the device, and to be able to wirelessly affect a toll booth transaction.
Counsel, this is Judge Stoll. In my copy of Maritzen in the appendix, as well as its duplication in the petition and in the expert report, it's really hard for me to see what that figure is showing. It's a very blurred depiction, figure 6A and 6B. Is that the case for what everybody has been looking at, even the board, or all of the copies of this pretty poor quality?
That's exactly the case, Judge Stoll. Every one of the images of that, for whatever reason, for reasons unknown, the images of 6A and 6B don't get any better than what the court has now. And that therein lies the issue with respect to proving that the device is handheld, relying on those figures. Even if those arguments hadn't been newly raised as a new theory of invalidity, that those figures depict cellular telephones or proportioned to be handheld, nobody can figure out for sure what they are. What we do know is that Maritzen does not describe them as cellular telephones, never talks about a cell phone or a mobile phone or a handheld device anywhere in the specification. With respect to the argument about the, you know, whether the court should have construed the claim handheld or the term handheld to be something that is intended to be held during use. Certainly, that comports with common sense, the board's finding that size is not controlling as to whether a device is handheld. Plenty of small devices are not handheld devices, and I think the board determined that, consistent with its own common sense, that you can have a device you can hold in your hand, but that no one would consider them to be handheld. You know, whether we're talking about hearing aids or light bulbs or pacemakers, the list goes on. There's no guarantee that because a device is small, that you anybody would consider it to be a handheld device. And specifically with respect to Maritzen, the board determined that size would not indicate whether the PTD is handheld. And in fact, as the court noted, the board sided with our expert, Dr. Jacobson, who testified that to avoid distracted driving, it was more likely that a skilled artisan would consider PTD 100 to be mounted to the vehicle during use and not handheld. And the board found USR's expert's testimony more persuasive on this point and rejected Apple's argument on that basis. And it's not legal error or an abuse of discretion for the board to decide that one expert is more persuasive than the other, especially when the expert provides objective evidence and analysis, as Dr. Jacobson did. But even though we believe that the board's common sense conclusion that size is not indicative of whether a device is handheld is correct, that determination is not essential to the board's rejection of Apple's argument, because the board had already determined that Apple failed to prove the other two legs of its argument, that all personal devices are typically small, or that even if they were typically small, that the PTD in Maritzen would be small enough to be held in your hand. Those two evidentiary gaps in the record were sufficient by themselves to support the board's rejection of the argument that, well, Maritzen must be a handheld device because it's small enough to be capable of being held in the hand. In addition, the board also rejected the argument that Apple had raised that Maritzen disclosed a PTD that was the size of a credit card, based on the citation of paragraph 69 at appendix 1215. The board looked at that and disagreed, said, you know, that paragraph says that the privacy card can be the size of a credit card, but not the PTD. And it also does not disclose that an integrated system that has both the card and the PTD would be the size of a credit card. And so with that rejection, with the rejection of the personal device argument, the syllogism that, you know, all personal devices must be handheld, the identification that new arguments had been raised with respect to 6A and 6B that had not been in the petition, that could have been raised in the petition, the board's ultimate conclusion that Maritzen doesn't disclose a handheld device is supported by substantial evidence. I will say that with respect to the notion that I guess we could talk about it I'll go ahead and close that. I was going to make a comment about 1223, but I'm sure we'll have plenty of questions when that arises. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Sellin?
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, three points. First, the board's construction of handheld device requiring the device to be intended to be held in the hand during use wasn't one that any party had advanced, nor was it a construction that the board had put forward at the institution stage. That term, handheld device, like all claim terms, should be accorded its broadest reasonable interpretation. Here, nothing in the intrinsic evidence restricts the meaning of handheld device. Second point, the board simply erred in disregarding the evidence that Apple had submitted regarding PTD 610 and 640 in Britain. The board found that had been waived when, in fact, Apple had raised it in its petition and in its reply was responding to a specific argument that USR had made. Had the board considered that evidence together with the other evidence, it would have been clear that figure 6A depicted a handheld device. As Apple said in its reply, brief and in the Shoup reply declaration, figure 6A and 6B show fingerprint scanners, 630 and 660. That reveals the dimension of the entire device is proportioned for handheld use. And third and final point, Your Honors, it's not like there was anything novel as of 2006 in using a handheld device to control access to secure systems. Even the 826 patent admits that such devices were available at column 4, lines 24 through 27. At the very least, Morrison would render obvious the handheld device of the challenge claims.
Anything further, counsel?
No, Your Honor.
Then the matter will stand submitted.